This is URN,
the Drama Show Breakdown.
Welcome back to the Drama Show, and now we have the Creative Writing Society with us. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Julia, and I'm this year's president of the Creative Writing Society.
Hello, I'm Jack, I edit the magazine.
I'm Oren, I'm the social sec.
So we're going to start off with Jack's piece, and yeah.
It's only a short one, it's just a poem I wrote a little while ago. I leave the den, hungry, ready, prowling into the cage, head high, burning. Eyes glance around my confinement, my cage. I catch glances, sorry stares. They kill, they say. I don't care. I prepare my feast, breathing it in, savouring it. Children stare, confused, innocent. They back away. I gorge, my meat disintegrating. Every drip processed, filling. I consume it to the bone. Crust the remains below me, proud. The embers of my cigarette gutter and die. I return to the den.
Ooh.
Wow.
When did you say you wrote that, sorry?
I think it was last term, so quite a while ago. It's supposed to sort of be one of those sort of bait and switch ones, like a sort of think it's either, I don't know, like a caged animal or a tiger or something, then it just turns out it's a guy having a cigarette, so...
Nice, a little tease, a little trick there.
actually didn't pick that up properly.
Yeah.
We have also been joined by Danny, who is our monkey. So,
hey.
Web monkey. Was there another animal?
No. Well, at one point, what were we trying to change the name to at the end of last year? Yeah,
there's Web Wizard. That's used a lot.
Something like along those lines. But I think there was a vote to keep Web Monkey. So,
yeah. Is that an official committee position?
Yeah, that's going on your CV. So.
I'm now jealous. I'm not.
Oops. That's going to be fun to explain to any future employers.
What should I go with next?
Okay, so Oren has a piece.
Okay, right. I submitted this to a magazine some months ago. The theme was women, and I just picked one of my favourite characters from my fictional world. So yeah, it's fantasy, so like, there's a lot of unusual names that you'll... I'm just saying that, just flagging that down, so like, yeah. You're ready. Okay. Lady Jane Cyril is one of the modern day's mysteries. For near a century, the citizens of Anzaria and all in the Three Kingdoms have revered this exalted woman. And it's no real surprise, she was at the forefront of the kingdoms of liberation, often being the figurehead for modern liberty in Delka. She has worn many coats of profession over her years, tactician, scholar, magus, a mother to a group of orphan children. Besides that, she was won a position on the Kingdom of Anzaria's council, as well as being various artistic depictions of her in comic books, novels, as well as two statues, one in the city centre and the other in the capital's palace gardens. She is, by all means, a living legend. In a past interview, when she asked how she felt about being such a celebrity, she simply replied that so long as it didn't detract from her life, she was alright with it. I meet her in a nice cafe in Anzaria's capital, Lyax, on a warm spring's afternoon with a cool breeze blowing. Lady Jane walks down the gentle slope of the road, a wide-brim hat on her head to block the sun, a white blouse with black trousers and some boots on. Heads turn, staring dumbfounded as she passes. Some are brave enough to greet her, one of which is nearby. She is brief but polite before she approaches me. Despite all her presence, she seems much smaller. I've seen pictures, true, but it doesn't truly sink in until I shake her hand, small and slightly calloused. She sits and removes her hat, red hair left to fall free in tangles, not looking any older than her late 30s. Her silver eyes stop me in my tracks, and she asks me how I am, before I croak a half-hearted reply. The goddess jewel on her forehead, called a glacial in this region, burns with a steady light. We chat for a little while before I begin my questions. She speaks carefully, in a tone of casualness that makes me feel like we've been friends for years. I suppose we should get down to the questioning and answering, she says after a while, her voice lilting. Her eyes never leave mine, with a sense of challenge written in them. It is clear that one cannot just usher her to begin when they are pleased. They waited for her to be ready, but equally she acts as if we are still close personal friends. The big question on the lips of many. How is it that she's able to do all she does so well? How is she able to balance them? She leans in, looking as though she's considering every word before she sits back and answers. I have a restless mind. I simply can't sit still. The world is so wonderful and the knowledge it offers is delicious. She laughs, looking over the street before focusing on the conversation. What about you? As a woman of note, you should know what it's like to have to manage a lot of projects. She continues before I'm able to reply. I suppose, in any case, with respect to how I balance them, I'm not sure. I've come from a background that didn't allow to be anything I wanted. When pushed on our background, she adopts a quieter, more aloof tone, realizing she has been too open. I mean that I simply did not have the kind of things that my wealth now affords me. Being so practiced gives me certain luxuries, is all. She is a pioneer, or popularizer, as she calls it, of metaphysics in the Three Kingdoms, philosophy being a tradition that is stagnating prior to her arrival many years before. But also, she has been experiencing biology and physics, releasing books for at least one of them every few years. Meanwhile, she has 4 young children to take care of, all under the age of 10. While topics about herself are met with guarded responses, questions regarding the children are met with mirth. They're both angels and rascals. I don't know how to feel about them half the time. Seeing something on my face assures me that it was a joke. They're hard to deal with at points, understandably, but they're all delightful. I have my brother to help me with the difficulties. Does that mean noisy? No, they're quiet. Which people think is a blessing, but when children don't express themselves, I feel like there's a lot more worrying. But it's important to persevere so they become well-adjusted adults. Both they and that goal keep me grounded in a way. Is it chaotic? Chaotic is not the word I'd describe it. She considers, folding her arm. Adult is probably the better word. Sometimes it's nice to shut off your mind from the outside world and just be with the ones you care about. Doing children things. She waves a hand as she articulates. Puzzles and the like. The world is shifting in many different ways. When asked in what way the world was shifting, she stalls and takes a long sip from her lavender tea and exhales. Exultation, she laughs, gesturing at herself. We have a different idea of celebrity today than when I was growing up. Like? Well, it was more about Delkins. Sorry, people for you, is it? That we knew personally. A good friend or a sibling or parent, usually. It was never anyone who you would hear about distantly. There were never any heroes in her time. She laughs and shakes her head. I think I've misled you, forgive me. We had heroes, men and women of note, but they were the stuff of legends, figures who had had generations worth of twisting and distortion and reverence. Celebrity is more of a live occurrence, a social observation of individuals in both the professional and personal spheres. No blind spots. She holds her hands out, palms facing upwards. The way she describes it makes it seem like a bad thing. I think that it could go either way, she says. I don't mind it all that much. It's just curious, she considers with another sip. I feel it goes wrong when people generate certain unrealistic ideas of the people that they follow. She turns the questions to me. What did you think of me before we had met? I'm reluctant to respond, but feel it is crucial to a response that I answer. So I tell her, this is exactly my point. Now you thought that I would be taller, which is fine. I get it quite a lot, actually. She rubs her hands together before laying them on the table, each act measured. That's harmless. When someone says something like, I lie with sheep, or something wild, or something ungrounded in reality gets out, and it becomes a piece of my storyline in people's heads. She adds quickly that this is not true, but stops me when offered to omit it from the article. It's almost like the schoolyard. Denying it will make people think you did, and you're ashamed. Likewise, you gain nothing confirming the false. So will she change that? You can't change people like that. They are products of their times, the environment that they grew up in. You couldn't change them at all? Well, not all at once. It takes generations to teach a culture out of certain restrictive ideas, let's say. But if it leads to better things, then it's worth taking the time to do it. In some ways, it's enjoyable. It must be particularly taxing to be recognized whenever doing mundane things, like buying bread from the market. No, because I have servants do that. She laughs and stops herself to reply again. It's actually quite flattering. Everyone's so nice, and I make sure they're not kept too long. As you know, I have a lot to balance, but the goddess remains kind. As it stands, celebrity can generate some fanaticism. Just in the crab claw last month, a master of arms had stumbled upon members of a cult for some of her ideals. She was horrified by some of their practices that involved some self-mutilation for mindfulness and the like. They were instantly reported by officials and the cult jailed. Even if there are nice aspects of celebrity, there are the fanatic types in almost every major case. Do I ever experience such a thing? She looks out to the street and takes slow sips from her tea, thinking behind it. I don't know. I'm quite sure that's not happened to me. There may well be those who are quite taken with me, but none that I have encountered. How does she feel about this aspect of celebrity culture? There are drawbacks to everything. I like to look at fame, mine at least, quite positively. In a lot of ways, idolizing people so much was always going to be an unhealthy thing to do. But she just said it was something to look at positively. I should perhaps draw the distinction between being admired and being idolized. You admire a sister, a brother, a parent, or friend. You idolize the goddess, the divine being herself. If you think about mortals placing themselves on this elevated pedestal really allows for some wild things to be generated. This links back to the unrealistic ideas. You start to think everything of them, and you think nothing of the reality. They become detached from real men and women and just turn to ideas. You can't think of people as more than people. That's just how you get obsession, fanaticism. We move on to her specialty skills, perhaps the thing that she's greatest known for, magic. She straddles both old and new tradition with seeming ease. If there are cats stuck in the trees, as a trivial example, she will use her talents to help them out and reunite them with their owners. Ah, we're finally in this, then, are we? She laughs, but her position becomes more defensive. She finishes her tea with deliberate slowness. I am nothing special. I've got many years on my side, as well as a significant adversity. That was a war of liberation, to confirm ahead of your question. I mean, I don't understand why it's oppressive. Magi are not so rare these days. It takes skill and dedication, true. But considering how most of the populace is expected to live well into their 15th decade, they have time. I don't have any natural talents. I don't believe in them, which is why I don't think it's so impressive. I was an awful magus as a child, but I stuck with it. Is that a message you'd like to pass on to the youth? For her children, perhaps? Oh, absolutely. If you want something bad enough, you should work for it. I understand that this is not something absolutely everyone can access to, but for some, for financial or other reasons, it's a bit more of a struggle. You can't do it alone, though. I learned from some very patient teachers. I think that's how I differ to children of today. If you have guides, role models, then they can be your guiding light. This is why I didn't think about... this is why I don't think that getting stopped from buying some fruit is so bad. To inspire is beautiful and can help people create down the line so that they can use their skills to help each other. That's what it's all about then. Others. Yes, making the world a better place for others is probably the core of why I've done anything. Is it rewarding? I can take the recognition of thanks as reward. That, or maybe the smile on the children's faces. That's reward enough. Whether the past yielded some trauma for her is near irrelevant. Awful for someone trying to rewrite a piece on her life. But it is clear that the present and future is what's important for her. So what's next for her? There have been rumours of unrest in the kingdom with their large neighbours, Timbroya. At this, she seems genuinely surprised. It's been fairly quiet recently. I haven't heard anything. I want to write more books, raise the children, and die in a time of tranquility. Some more of that, please.
Wow.
Wow. That was really good.
Thank you.
I really like the interview style. I think that's a good way of getting a lot of speech through and not having... and getting description without actually describing, if that makes sense. She thinks this, she thinks this. You're getting her thoughts through her speech. That's really clever.
Yeah, thank you. People have a lot of ideas about fantasy being like, I don't know, like hack and slashing, and lots of people don't really realise how deep it can be, and you've definitely got a lot of a philosophy in there, and it's
part of a greater universe, is it?
Yeah. It's just a small snippet. I just wanted to focus in one character, but yeah, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Cool. Okay, now I've got a piece which I won't lie, I wrote last night. Basically, one of my friends had their 21st birthday and they did a 1920s house party for it.
Oh.
So I decided to take inspiration from that. And I was so determined that I was going to write a really happy piece for the radio.
Mm.
It failed. It's nothing that I expected to start out with, but I think it ended up okay. So, this is untitled because I didn't have time to think of the title. Another night, another party. The few hours of the day you can stand when it's a little bit easier to numb yourself. You thank whatever god may be listening for speakeasies, the only cure for a world sharpened by prohibition. You're aware that it's a temporary solution. When the morning comes, you'll feel worse, and the thoughts which you managed to avoid for a too brief period murmur, sliding back into your mind like a poison. After all, how do you run away from the memories which flash behind your eyes as soon as you close them? Blood streaking across the side of her cream dress, the blossoming stain matching the colour of her lips which had been painted so carefully a few hours before. One bullet later, and those lips would never move again. You can't run, so you push the images that haunt you away the only way you know how, with a few cocktails and loud music and a forced smile which, if you wear it long enough, might just become real, if only for one beautiful, fleeting moment. But when the music lulls and the sugary taste of the drink in your hands is far too sweet on your tongue, you wonder what she'd make of this. Make of you. It doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter. Her opinions died with her. And if now and again you think you can see her across the room, a look of concern lining her face as she watches you laugh with the gentleman she'd probably tell you is bad news. Well, that's why you ask the bartender to make it a double, thank you very much. And as the alcohol slips between your painted lips, you let yourself once again fall backwards into the sweet relief of denial, of pure rejection of reality. You fall because the person who used to catch you hit the ground long ago.
Brilliant.
Okay, yeah.
Happy times.
Yeah.
It's because it's quite nice to hear that side of things, because it is seen as a huge age, a golden era of, you know, decadence and fun parties. And but, you know, the sidelines were full of, you know, examples of that.
Yeah, it's kind of the romanticisation of the era because of Gatsby and stuff. You just think, oh, the parties, fun, happy times. And it's kind of, well, not always, not so much.
This is URN.
The Drama Show Breakdown.